Prince's mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And the Lord will bless our hearts, the reading of his word, as he has promised. This story is extremely well known to probably all of us here today. Speaks of Nicodemus. Nicodemus who came to Jesus. Nicodemus, a Pharisee who came to Jesus. Although the story is well known to us, it's sort of surprising when we consider who the Pharisee was, that a Pharisee should come to Jesus. They, like most others, had a good intent when their group of separation from the worldliness started. They cut themselves off. They were the separated ones. But as time went on, they allowed their thinking to affect their behavior patterns. They allowed what's happening around them to influence their theology or their faith. To the extent that when John came on the scene, and some of them came to listen to him and to be baptized, John said, call them vipers, snakes. How come you are here? Bear in mind that these people had so influenced the populace that they said that if two people ever went to heaven, one had to be a Pharisee. They looked right. They talked right. But John saw through them and said they were snakes. But the Pharisee, Nicodemus, came to Jesus. And that's what thrills me, that he came to Jesus. When you want to understand what these people were, the scripture says that they tried to kill Jesus. They criticized him because he ate with publicans and sinners. They criticized the way he worshipped on the Sabbath day. Jesus said that he called them covetous, because they devour widows' houses. They look good. They talked right. But inside, I said, was like dead men's bones. But you know what? Nicodemus came to Jesus. You see, my God is a marvelous God. My God is a merciful God. My God is unchanging every whit. And this is why, of all people, Nicodemus could have come to Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ looked at a group of Pharisees who had been asking him questions and said, you're hypocrites. We don't like that word. Actors. Just appearing to be something when you're not. You see, God wants our hearts to be right. And each of our hearts can be right. Because God loves us. And God is ever speaking to us. And God is ever calling us. God wants us to come to Him. Nicodemus came to Jesus. Some people quibble about the fact that he came by night. I don't know why he came by night. They may be right when they say because he was ashamed, because he was afraid of the Jew or the Pharisees. That might be quite true. Maybe he was just busy. But whatever might be the reason, he came to Jesus. And he came with an express purpose, direct reason, for he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You see, that's a strange thing. Miracles. In most of the modern translations, instead of the word miracles, you'll find the word signs. You remember the Jews coming to Jesus and said, show us a sign. Show us a sign that you are the Messiah, in effect. It's the same word here, signs. Sometimes we specially lift up the Gospel of St. John and we emphasize that John used the word signs, this precious word signs, that speaks of something done which carries a message beyond it. He used this unique word instead of just a great work, as in other places, a miracle. And sometimes we think in our minds that the turning of the water into wine, which was a sign, that John had all the signs. But no. Whatever Jesus did, he did as a sign that you and I and all the world may know that he is the one in whom we should trust. The truth is, this is just like God. He's unchanging. He's merciful. Of course, he's just. But he's constantly calling every one of us. This is God's nature. This is just like God. Yesterday morning at prayer breakfast, the Lord allowed Brother Bennett to read for us Psalm 19. That's a very unique psalm, a wonderful psalm. It said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day after day, uttereth speech, and night after night showeth forth knowledge. He went on to say, there is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone forth through all the earth, and the words to their words to the ends of the world thereof. In them, as he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run the race. A very, very beautiful portion. The next verse. His goings forth is from the ends of the earth, heavens, and his circuit to the ends there of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And when I think of this portion in Psalm 19, I said this is just like God. That if you just sit quietly and consider what God has done in the world of nature, and you look deeper and deeper in it, You'll be amazed. And then you'll say, there must be a God. For the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. You remarked some time ago at the marvels of the heavens and the fact that God said that if you can measure the heavens or plumb the depths of the earth, then I will forsake Israel. And the more they look at the heavens, they can't fathom its depths. They say it's an expanding heaven, because it's opening and opening, as the psalmist says, that a curtain is being pulled apart. I can't fathom it, nor can we fathom God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and God is speaking. He speaks to the heavens. But he speaks in things a little more particular. He speaks to you and he speaks to me as he spoke to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is a strange word. Nico means above, and Demas means the populace, the people. She's one who literally stood up among the people, like everybody likes to do sometimes. I want to be different. I would like to be number one. Nicodemus, in many respects, was number one. But he came to Jesus because he saw what Jesus did. And Jesus and the Lord is always telling us something about himself to draw us near to him by what he did. I was thinking about a portion that was mentioned last Wednesday night. I was sitting outside there. I couldn't come in and came so early. So I just sat up there listening. And Brother Bill was mentioning about a thought. He said that that girl, Rahab, I don't know what age she was when that those spies came to her house in Joshua chapter 2. But when they came in, she said, we heard of what happened, what God did to the people in Egypt. How you crossed the Red Sea. What God did, she heard. And what God did affected her. I don't know who was the person who started the chain reaction in her home. It seems strange to me that Rahab could have influenced her father, mother, sisters, and brothers. Noah couldn't do it. Lot couldn't do it. Sometimes I think that possibly, and this is just a speculation, that it came down from the parents. This is why she could have spoken so confidently, I'm going to get my mother and father here. We believe. But the people are afraid, and they won't believe. What the Lord did affected Jericho. What the Lord did brought fear of God to one home and rebellion to others. In Ghana we say, the same sun that melts butter hardens mud. And the truth is, that's what happened to Pharaoh in Egypt. Some believed, and some did not. Later on in Joshua chapter 6, 9 and 10, you can check that out. You've got to give the evidence. Who, when they realized what the Israelites were doing, you know what they did? They came and sought to make peace with Israel. Of course, they didn't know God and did the wrong way, and Rahab did it the wrong way too, but at least she submitted. And at least the Gibeon submitted. And what happened to the other nations? They heard, they feared, But instead of yielding, they rebelled. And this is what happens when God speaks. You hear the word. And you have a choice as you hear the word any day and every day to yield to what God says. To consider His word. Or to say, I'll have it my way. The price of rebellion is very high. Let us humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt us in due time. God speaks. God speaks to the things He does. And we can go on off and off and find several other examples of that, but that's your homework. God also speaks to His servants. God speaks to His servants. But sadly, sometimes they do not hear. Let's look for a moment to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Incidentally, while you find that, and I find it too, the last time we were talking about the slow drift from God's precepts to man's practice, when we talked about Moses calling all the men, the women, and the children, and the word children, they're little ones, the tripping ones, you know. They can't walk properly, tripping ones. He called all of them to listen to the word of God. And we saw that in Nehemiah, they selected those that could understand. And what you saw is this. I don't know when this drift began, but what I do know, that father, son, mother, children, and everybody, father, women, and children, in the days of Jeremiah, cooperated towards mischief. I asked you to read Jeremiah 4:4. I raised some a question from Brother Pete. I had to tell him the other part of this thing. It's also recorded in Jeremiah 7. And I'm only referring to this, no, I will say that. But I'm referring to this morning particularly because we're going to read Jeremiah 7 for another reason. Okay? In Jeremiah, the one for last week or the last time I spoke, you have Jeremiah 7:18. And this has nothing to do with this morning's message except you must stick to the word. The children, when they were worshipping their idols, the children gathered the wood, the fathers kindled the fire, and the women needed the bread, and they washed the Queen of Heaven. Idolatry. Okay? Stick to the word or we won't find ourselves in that trouble, whatever might be the idol of today. But I'm looking now further along the line, and you look at verse 23. Bear with me. But this one thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Walk in all the ways that I commanded you, that it may be well with you. But their heart could not, nor incline their ear, but walked after the counsel and in the imagination of their evil heart. I'll do what I please. This is why I'm so amazed that Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, he didn't need anything, but he came to one by night who said, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but I, the Son of Man, have nowhere to lay my head. He came to him. Let's continue. So don't walk in here. Don't think it's smart to out-talk somebody. Let's stick to the word of God. Yes, they walked in their imagination and went backwards and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth from the land of Egypt unto this day, God said, I have sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them, yet ye have not hearkened unto me, nor inclined your ear, but hardened your neck, and did worse than your fathers. You can check the portions before and after. This is it. God sends his servants. But when we hear, our reaction can be like Nicodemus, and come, I think I want to know more. Or you can say, I'll have none of it. Of all things, I encourage you, don't be like the people in the days of Ezekiel. That portion troubles me about a lot. In Ezekiel 33, it really bothers me. Verse 30. Verse 30. As also thou, son of man, the children of your people still are talking about you by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that comes from the Lord. And they come unto thee as a people cometh, and they sit before you as a people, and they hear your words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but with their heart they go after covetousness. And thou art to them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play on an instrument. They hear your words, but they do them not. And this bothers me. But of all things, I rejoice that Nicodemus came to Jesus. And God is also calling us to come to him. Zechariah 7 and 11 says, said that when God speaks, he speaks through his servants, the prophets, the Spirit of God does that. 1 Peter 1:11, this is the same thing too. Then finally I want to say this. He observed what Jesus did. And because he saw what Jesus did, he said, thou art a teacher, come from God. You remember Hebrews chapter 1? Verses 1 to 3, I like that verse. Hebrews chapter 1. Thou who in sundry times and in diverse places, diverse manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And we must hear. We must do like Nicodemus did. As Jesus speaks to our hearts, don't let us think. Don't do like the people in Jeremiah. I'm not going to do what you say. I have my opinion of what things should be. He came to Jesus. He was a Pharisee. And Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew all about them. And Jesus gave a simple word to him. He went through the pits of fire and said, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. And then later on, as Nicodemus expressed some amazement at his statement, he said, except a man be born of water and of the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you,
you must be born again.
This is a brand new thing. Becoming a believer is a brand new thing. It's becoming God's child. Being born of God. Some people look at that portion and said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And some of my brothers too, and we pray for our brothers, we ask God to help us to love our brothers, everyone. We equate baptism to justify this position, to equate baptism with circumcision. Others would say that baptism makes us, baptism mind you, whether it's sprinkling or pouring or dipping, baptism makes us children of God. Members of the church. I mean, that's just one portion. So the point is this, does it? Isn't that what Jesus was speaking when he speak of born again, born from above, born of water? When a child is baptized, I take my child to someone, and that someone sprinkles the water, and that someone baptizes my child. I made a decision. My child has no input in this, and the man carried out the act. But when this was explained by John in chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12, he made an interesting point. He said, 12 and 13, I'm sorry. Oh, but look at 11 also. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, taking him in. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe, trust in his name. Even to them that believe and trust in him, which are born, not of blood. It doesn't happen because my mother, grandfather was a believer in Christ. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. I can't make up my mind. I'll be a Christian. I've got to humble myself and come as a little child and receive Christ. Nor the will of man, flesh, nor the will of man. If I want my child to be a Christian, and I take my child to the church, and my child is baptized physically, whose will is it exercised? Mine? And the person who does the work. But I cannot become a child of God by the will of man. I can only become a child of God by the will of God. That verse is extremely important. And baptism and or regeneration, the water receiving, is not a precursor to faith. It's what happens when there is faith. I repeat. It's not a precursor to faith. But God is constantly calling us, as he did to Nicodemus, as he did through his word, as he does through his servants, as he does through nature. He's calling you, calling you. The more you respond, the more you learn, and the more you learn. If you go through St. John, you'll see the number of times when the Lord said that they might believe. Have you believed yet? And many believe. Some people come here, but I don't come over here. come closer, and come fully to God. You remember the Israelites through the wilderness? They came right to the point where they could have entered, and they did not enter. Why? Because of unbelief. And if you understand it, you can go back and check Hebrews chapter 4 again. 3 and 4. Come to the point of faith and do not trust. But God is speaking to us, and He must yield. You see, the water we spoke the last time, we discussed the last time I was here, in many respects speaks of the Word of God. For His Word is life. His Word is life. Jesus actually said so, you know, in John chapter 6 and verse 63. Let's look at it. John chapter 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickens or brings life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I send to you, they are spirit and they are life. So except a man be born of water, God's word, you can't enter God's kingdom. That familiar verse, he that hears my word and believes in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 addresses this a bit more. The word and being born again. James chapter 1 and verse 15, but 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. It should be 23, but 22 is beautiful. Seeing that you have obeyed, you have purified your souls in obeying, yielding to, submitting to the truth, to the Spirit, unto the unprofaned love of the brethren, since you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. When we recognize our sin, our weaknesses, the folly of mere empty religion, and we humble ourselves and we confess our sins and we come and trust in Jesus Christ the Savior, He, by His word, gives us life. I can't grasp how He does it. But all I do know, 23rd of April 1953, He did this for this vagabond. And I rejoice. I rejoice in His saving power, His transforming power, and His keeping power. I'm not suggesting to you by any means that I'm an angel. I mean, God's angels. But I'm saying this, God is working on every one of us, that as we yield ourselves to Him, you and I, can, who know Him, can grow in His grace. If you don't know the Lord as Savior, if you're not yet born of His Spirit, born from above, if you're not yet sure that you are a child of God, you can say, Lord, please help me today. Please forgive me. Please help me to trust you. Because He's always calling. This is the amazing thing about a great God. He's unchanging. He's merciful. He's persistent in His calling for you. Don't resist Him. Yield yourself to Him. And like Nicodemus, prove that He's able to keep you
under strange and sorrowing circumstances. The Lord used Nicodemus to stand up for him in the Sanhedrin. People didn't understand all things. The Lord used Nicodemus to use what his money to produce 100 pounds of spices, myrrh. A very rich man he was, to bury the anointed body of Jesus. And God wants to bless you and to use you in a unique fashion to bring glory to his name. Love him. Trust him. Live for him today. Come to Jesus now. Shall we pray?
Gracious Father, we wish to thank you, O Lord, for the fact that you are so faithful, so unchanging, so merciful. You're the same yesterday, today, and you will be forever the same. I thank you, O Lord, that when you are far away from you, you devise the means whereby we might hear your voice. And come and submit ourselves to you. Lord, we pray that today, this morning, that we all may do this. Yield our beings to you, that you may use us in the way you wish. We thank you, O God, for the simplicity of the gospel. That we are sinners. We could not save ourselves. We are helpless and rebellious in our sin. And yet you followed us up with your love. Sent your Son to die on Calvary's cross for us. That when we receive him, we are born of his Spirit. And become your sons and daughters. Bless us today as we continue to wait in your presence. For we ask these things in the name of thy Son, O Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I think she's playing tune of number 340. Oh, 240, I'm sorry. 240. 240.
Salvation and life, the Master made answer in words true and plain. He must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto you, he must be born. Children of men, attend to the word so solemnly delivered by Jesus the Lord, and let not this message to you be in vain. He must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again.
Morning, which I realize is very important, is essential. Maybe you can do one again tomorrow.